You are listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you will be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au. This morning here, I'm going to continue on our 1 John series. I'll be looking at chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. Okay, I'm going to read the word of God, and I'll pray, and we'll get straight to work. So that's 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. This is the word of God. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Verse 13, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Let me pray. Father God, I do pray now that you would help me to expound your word and bring your word to your people faithfully. And I do pray, Lord, that they will hear from you and that they will be encouraged with your word. Lord, may you speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an artist, a singer in the early 90s. He called himself Hardaway. I don't know if you remember him. Some of you maybe haven't been born there. Trinidadian German Eurodance singer. One of his greatest hits was What is Love? I'll read you the lyrics, okay? I won't sing, I'll read you the lyrics. What is love? A baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. What's funny? I don't know why you're not fair. I give you my love, but you don't care. So what is right and what is wrong? Give me a sign. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Does anyone remember that song? Okay. Read my singers for us, right? Now, when we often think of love, we think of this emotion, feeling, the racing of the heart, the accelerated breathing, the butterflies from within. We think that love is something that we feel, something that we receive. And it's true that if you enter into a love relationship, you're a bit cautious because you're afraid that you might get hurt. That's why many people are very hesitant to fall in love. Like this song from Hardaway, he would say things like, you know, I don't know why you're not fair. I give you my love, but you don't care. A baby, don't hurt me no more. You see, in this passage here, we find out about God's love. And God is love. And if we study this passage together, we find out that God is love. The essence of God is love. His ontology is love. And it's not about a feeling. It's not about what I get. It's about the fact that God's love is a love that moves and changes. In God, there is no evil, no corruption, nothing bad, nothing sinful. That's the character of God. If we draw closer to God, what we will find is love. If you remember in chapter 3, John would say, in him, that's in God, there is no sin. In other words, in God, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, what we find is just purity. What we find is love. Before the creation of this world, before time, before Adam and Eve, in eternity past, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, we see love. They existed with this love. The Father would love the Son would receive that love, and that love is expressed through the Spirit. God is love. The Godhead in relationship. And this gets quite confusing. I don't want to confuse you here, but we know it's one God. There's one God, but three persons. Is that right? The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. The Father is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Son. But they are God. three persons, one God. If you don't fully understand it, I don't fully understand it as well. So when we reach heaven one day and we ask God, God, how does this work? One God, three persons. I'm pretty sure that God will reveal that to us. But what we need to understand is that in the Trinity, beginning of time, what we find inside is love. If we could cut God or pierce God, God would bleed love. God is love. And that's what the passage says right here. God is love. And if God is love, He created us not to abuse us, not for us to be His slave, not to hurt us, but He created us so that we can be in this relationship of love with God. That's why God created us. But parents, correct me if I'm wrong, parents, isn't it true that if your child spend more time with you, they'll most likely end up being very similar to you? If you're gracious, if you're kind, if you're loving, there's a very good chance that your children will grow up being loving and gracious and kind. But if you're obnoxious and rude and inconsiderate, there's a very good chance that your children will grow up being just like that. And that's the same with God. Because if God is love, the essence of God is love, the more we draw closer to God, the more we spend time with God, I am very sure that God will change us so that we would be more like Him. Would you agree with me? We don't spend a lot of time with God. I mean, the only time we ever think of God is a Sunday morning when the Bible is open, which means that our intimacy is not that great. There's a very good chance that we won't be like God, but be more like the world. And this is what John is doing here. So, there are 4 points to my sermon, how God is love and how that changes you and I. God is love. That means He gives love. God initiates love. God demonstrates love. And then God demands love. And that's where we're going this morning. Is that okay with you? Let's look at the very first one. God gives love. Look again carefully in verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. What do we see right here in the text? At the very beginning of this passage here, we are told love comes from God. Why? It's because God is love. You see, God gives love. God is the source of love, like the sun is the source of light and fire is the source of heat. God is the source of love. We love because God gives us that love to love one another. What John is not saying here is this. Now listen carefully, because we can get a wrong theology here. Because I love, therefore I belong to God. Okay, because I love people, I have God in me. That's not what John is saying right here. Because there are many people in this world who do not know Jesus, who are not in relationship with Jesus, and they love people. It's probably safe to say that I know some non-Christians who are better at loving than Christians. Are you with me? But they don't belong to God. If we go down to verse 15 of chapter 4, let me read this. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, there you go, God lives in them and they in God. So we only belong to God, we only have God in us if we acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, we trust in Jesus, we believe in Jesus, we obey Jesus, then we are part of God's family. So we can't not take this passage and say, well, John is saying right here, if I love someone, I belong to God. That is a poor theology. That is wrong. What John is saying here is this. Listen carefully. Our ability to love is because God placed it in our hearts, everyone's heart. Whether you are a believer or a non-believer, whether you are a Christian or non-Christian, listen carefully. The Bible teaches us that we are all created in the image of God. Every single one of us. God created every one of us in His image. And if God is love, therefore in His image, we have been given love. Therefore, we have the capacity to love. If you are here and you're doubting God, like you're trying to figure out this thing about God or Jesus, let me say this. Your ability to love is the witness that you're created in the image of God, because God is love. God has created you in His image and God has given you the ability to love. Are you with me? So when we love one another our capacity to love one another, it is because God has given us that capacity to love. Have I confused anyone? The image of God, you and I, is displayed by the fact that we have the capacity to love. That's what John is doing right here. God gives us common grace. Listen carefully. Common grace is what God gives to everyone. Believers, non-believers. The rainfall, the sunshine, the ability to breathe. God gives it to everyone. We call that common grace. And one of God's gifts in common grace is the ability to love. Therefore, we can all love. But for the Christian, for those who love Jesus, listen carefully. This is for you. That your capacity to love must always increase as you grow in Him. Do you understand me? I'll show you why. Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see that? When you have been saved by God, God gives you His Holy Spirit, and God pours out His love into your spirit. He gives you the Holy Spirit, therefore you have to grow in this capacity to love people. The more you mature in Christ, the more you spend time with God, the more God will grow your capacity to love. Therefore, when you read passages like Luke 10:27, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's very hard-hitting. I'll tell you why this is a very hard-hitting verse, because you notice the word all. All your heart. You see that? All your soul, all your strength, all your mind. You can't do it. And what makes this verse even more harder is at the very end, Jesus would say, love your neighbor as yourself. You can't do that. I can't love you as myself. I can't love God with all my heart and all my mind and all my strength, all my soul. It's very hard. It is only possible if God begins to grow my capacity. Are you with me? So as I grow closer to God, who is love, as I spend more time with Him, He grows my capacity. And I find myself in this process of sanctification, loving Him more, loving people more. I find myself getting on my knees saying, God, I can't do this. I can't love that person the way you want me to love them. I can't love you with all my heart. What must I do? And God begins to grow my capacity. That is why, listen carefully, some Christians, some of you here, you are better at loving than others. Is that right? That's why some of you here, you have more patience, more grace, more forgiveness. And I believe that's because you are close with God. That your intimacy with God results to your capacity to love. Is that right? So our prayer every day, every week should be, God, I want to grow in my ability to love people more. I need you to change me. I need you to do something in my heart. I need you to expand my capacity. I need to have more patience, more grace, more forgiveness so that I can be more like you. That's what happens. As we draw close to God, who is love, and He gives us the ability to love. If we go to John, this is the Gospel of John, chapter 13:35. Jesus would say this, and by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. As we love one another, as God grows that ability to love, as He gives us the ability to love, the world will see that we belong to Him. That's my first point. God gives love to everyone. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, God gives you the capacity to love. But if you are a believer, the challenge for you is to grow in that capacity as you draw closer to Him. Amen? Here's the second point here. God initiates love. Look in verse 10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. What is John saying here? It's not about me loving God. It's the other way around. It's about God loving me. He would make it so clear. He would make it so clear that it's not about me loving God. It's not like God is this lonely figure wanting to be loved. He is sitting on his throne room. He's lonely and he's just going, oh, would you please love me? Would you please give me your time and attention? It's not like that. Why? It's because God is love. God doesn't need our love. God is love. He doesn't need your love, my love, because in him, he is love. What John is saying here is that God is the one who initiates the love. It is him who loved us first, not the other way around. Are you with me? It's not that if I love God, and then God would love me. And God is this angry man waiting for people to love him, to say that, God, I love you, and then God would respond by loving them. That's not what the Bible is saying. God is saying that he is the one who initiated this love. It is him who loved us first, not the other way around. And I really am so thankful that's the case. That God's love for us, for me, for you, is not directed towards us because we've done anything good or because we're good. Because the honest truth, listen carefully, the honest truth is there's nothing good in us. There's nothing good in us for God to love us. That's the reality. Sorry. If you think that you're good, if you think that you're worthy of God loving you, sorry. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God loves us regardless. It is not dependent upon what we do. It's not dependent upon our behavior. It's not dependent upon our action. God loves us because God is love. And because he is love, he will initiate that love. And he's not waiting for you. Listen carefully. He's not waiting for you to change. He will love you regardless. He is not persuaded by your action. Your action does not determine God's love for you. God initiates that love because he is love. 1 John 4:19. If we go down a bit further, we love because he, that's God, first loved us. God first loved us. And I love the Bible because as I read the Bible, this love of God, that he would love you and I, it's just so amazing that we were still sinners and enemies of God, and yet he would still love us. You know, a few months ago, someone came into our house to do some work at our house. We found the details on the classified section, and they came to do some work in our house. And they damaged our house. And I had to literally go back from work to ask them to leave. And we had to fix our house and spend more money instead of them helping us. And I could not love that individual. They lied to us, they cheated, they were sinning against us, and I can't love them. And I actually literally asked them to leave. I kicked them out of my house, and I've never done that before. But the Bible tells us that when we were still sinning, still enemies of God, God would still love us. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You read a bit more in 10. For if while we were God's enemies, there we go, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? You see that? He initiated the love when we were so far from him. Rebellious, sinful, enemies of God, but yet God would still love us. Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that the good news, guys? That God would love me, God would initiate that love towards me when I don't deserve that love. That is grace. That is the gospel. And I love that. And God would love me first and not the other way around. God would choose me. Not the other way around. God would say yes to me, not the other way around. I didn't say yes to God. God said yes to me. I didn't choose God. God chose me. I didn't love God first. He loved me first. That's the gospel. I mean, for some of you here this morning, you've been coming to Sun Life Church for a while now, and you probably hear me talk a lot about the gospel, but that is the gospel. But God is not waiting for you to love him first. God is not waiting for you to be good or to get things right. The gospel is God would love you regardless, and God would initiate that love for you whilst you're still sinning against God, enemies with God. God would still love you. That's good news. I don't know about you, but that's good news to share, people. I mean, when's the last time you shared that message to anyone? I mean, has our heart become so callous that we go, well, that's only for me, and I'm so glad that God loves me, and that's it? But that's great news. That's good news that we need to share to everyone, that God would love you. And God initiated that love, not because you are good, but because He is good. Not because you've done anything right. He is love. That's the wonderful thing. And if we understand that, then it changes the way we live our lives. If we understand that God would love us and God would initiate that love when we are still sinning, then when someone hurts us, whether it's at home, at work, or in the church, we give them more grace. We give them more slack. We give them more forgiveness. We give them more love because God has given that towards us. You know, as this church grows, and we'll get bigger, there'll be more people. Let me say that when we were 20, the amount of issues is probably not as much as when we're 200. There'll be more miscommunication, misinterpretation, misunderstanding, and you know what happens, right? There's tension. But if we know that God is the one loving us, forgiving us, initiating that, we can also give people more slack, more grace, more forgiveness. That's so important as we grow as a church. Or we can initiate that love to someone else. Someone will come into this building one day or the next building and they're seated by themselves, or after service they're standing by themselves with a cuppa. We can initiate that love. We can say, you know what? I want to get to know you. I want to love you. That is so important for us to keep in mind as we grow as a church. First point, right? God gives love. Second point, God initiates love. Third point, God demonstrates love. Verse 9, and this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His one and only Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. What can you see here? God shows, He demonstrated, He displayed His love by sending His Son. Three times, and John would say, God sent His Son, His one and only Son. Where else in the Bible has John said this? Can anyone remember? John 3:16. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What is the Bible teaching us? That the greatest act of love in the eyes of God, the greatest display, greatest manifestation, greatest demonstration of love is when God sent His one and only Son to die for us. Look carefully in verse 9 again. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might, what? Live through Him. You notice that? God did not give up His Son and that was it. God gave up His Son so that we will be the beneficiary, so that we will live. That is God's greatest demonstration of His love for you and I. I don't know about you, but I have three beautiful children. Two boys and a girl. And I'm very blessed to have them. I could not imagine the pain that I would go through if I happened to lose one of them. And maybe some of you, God has already blessed you with one child. You got one boy or one daughter. I can't imagine the pain if you lost that one and only child. You know, it reminds me of what took place in the Old Testament with Abraham and Isaac. In Genesis, we know the story. Abraham and his wife Sarah, they're of old age, and God would promise them that one day they will be blessed with a child. And they've been waiting, and they're getting old now. And eventually that day arrives, and God has blessed them with this beautiful son, and his name is Isaac. And we know the story. If we follow through the story, what happens is that God decides to test Abraham to see if he's willing to give up his one and only son. I think of the pain going through Abraham and Sarah leading up to the day where they would sacrifice their one and only son. The pain of Abraham walking with his son Isaac towards the altar. The pain is Abraham would gather these sticks to place on the altar. The pain is Abraham drew the knife at the altar with his son lying on it. And we know the story. And just about Abraham, just when Abraham was about to slay his son, a voice from heaven, the angel of God, would cry out. And in Genesis 22, 10 to 12, then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. You fast forward that event 2,000 years later, and here's Jesus on the cross as a sacrifice for you and I. However, this time round, there was no angel from heaven. There was no voice from heaven crying out, stop it. This time round, no one stopped the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for your sin and my sin. You see, that is the greatest demonstration of God's love for humanity. We must never ever forget that. As we look at that, we see that God is so self-sacrificing and so other-centered in his love for you and I as he gave up his son. Self-sacrificing in the fact that he did not give a quarter of Jesus or half of Jesus. He gave Jesus in his entirety for you and I. Jesus died for you and I. And that's so important for us to understand. That if God would give up his very prized possession for you and I, what about you and I? What about us? What are we giving up for God? I mean, do we love God the way he wants us to love him? With all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength? Or when we're serving God, whether it's here or at home, are we serving God with our very all? Is it sacrificial? Are we only giving God our second best? Or whether it's our time or our treasures? You know, at Sun Life Church, I don't teach you a percentage to give. I don't give you a little sermon before it's offering time. We don't do that at Sun Life Church. We just say that if you give it cheerfully. And one of the things we say, it should be sacrificially. Because if it doesn't matter to you, it won't matter to God. Are you with me? If it's not important to you, if your giving is not important to you, it's not important to God. Therefore, when we serve God, when we give to the work of God, whatever we do, is it self-sacrificing? Because the love of God when he gave up his son was one where he gave his son for you and I. We also notice that in giving up the son, that demonstration, it was other-centered. You notice that, right? God gave up his son so that we might live. We are the beneficiary. It's not about what God gets out of this. It's about what we get out of this. When I do counseling for people getting married, I always say to them, like when you enter into marriage, it's not about what you get out of the relationship. Because if you go into a relationship and you're hoping to get A, B, C from that person, that's not a healthy marriage. A healthy marriage is when you go into the relationship and what can you give? And what we see right here is that the love of God demonstrated on the cross was other-centered. God gave up himself so that we might live. We benefit from that death. And that leads me to my last point, which God demands love. Verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. What do we see right here? God demands that we love one another. We ought to love one another. This is very important you understand this. This is not legalism. This is not a teaching that if you love God, God will love you back. If you do good, you receive good. That's not happening here. What John is doing here is this. Listen carefully. I don't want to confuse you. Because we have been loved by God, we are new. There's a new self. We've been born again. Our new nature is that we ought to love people. That's the new self. Okay, now, go with me. I don't want to confuse you. Go with me to Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. I urge you to live a worthy life of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Colossians 3, 12, 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness and patience. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now listen carefully. Because you have been loved by God, and God has done a beautiful work inside your heart, you've been born again, you are a new creation, you are new, therefore you ought to love, that's who you are. If you are a Christian and you don't love, then there's something wrong. The ought here is like this. A bird ought to fly, because if a bird doesn't fly, it's not living to its full potential. A frog ought to do what? Jump, right? If it doesn't jump, it's not living to its full potential. The heart ought to do what? Pump blood. If it doesn't pump blood, it's not doing what it's called to do. You and I ought to love. That's who we are. That's our new nature. We ought to love because God has died for us. God has given us new birth. There's a newness of life. And who we are today are people marked with love. That's the point of John right here. Not some legalistic understanding that you better love, because if you don't love, God doesn't love you back. But no. You ought to love because that's who you are. That's the new self. How do you know you're a Christian? Well, something happens inside here where you just love people. You're always there for people. All right? And it's not a love in speech or a love where you nod someone and say, yeah, I love you. No, it's a love where there's action and there's truth. The whole theme, the whole vision of this year, love in action. So think about it. Let's say you're here and you find out that someone needs a lift to come to church. I'll do it. That's a love in action. You find out that someone is not connected at Sun Life Church, they don't have any friends, I'll be their friend. That's a love in action. You find out someone needs prayer, they need support, that's me. I'll go there. When that happens, all right, listen carefully, then you know you're living to your full potential as someone being born again by the Holy Spirit. If that doesn't happen, there's something wrong. Like you walk across a homeless person and it doesn't move you, there's something wrong. You walk out of the shops and you see someone begging, asking for food, and it doesn't move you, there's something wrong. Because the new you, the new nature, ought to love. That's what John is doing right here. So in this church here, when people begin to come to this church, and when we move to when we move to Oxford Street, and there's lots of people, and they're coming off from the street, and if we're sticking to our corner and saying, "Oh no, you're different. I don't like your look. I don't like your smell. I don't like, you know, you." That's not it. But it should be a love where I want to love them. You ought to love them. That's a love in action. And when that happens, listen carefully, and when that takes place in this church here, two things happen. In verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Can you see that? There's this invisibility of God that will become visible when we love one another. So firstly, when I love you, and you love me, when I serve you and you serve me, God who is unseen, he's invisible, is revealed in our actions. That's what the Bible is saying. It is our responsibility to display the invisible God of love through our visible action of love. Are you with me? So as I love you, as you love me, as I serve you and you serve me, God who is invisible becomes visible. That's what the Bible is saying. And I love that because I see that a lot at Sun Life Church. For those who are in a connect group, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know, I've heard stories of people in connect group where they need people to help with cooking or they've given birth. And then, of course, their connect group would rally and then have a bit of a roster and cook meals. I've heard stories of people in connect group praying for each other, visiting one another in hospital. all that love in action, display this invisible God to the people around you. It is a testimony that God is real. God is alive. He lives in you as you love each other. Secondly, you notice here that the love that we have for each other here completes God's love. Look carefully in verse 12b. And His love, that is God's love, is made complete in us. It's like a circuit. Listen carefully. God gives that love. It runs to us. It shouldn't stop at us. It has to go to someone else. That's the circuit. You understand that? I used to teach science, and I taught a bit of physics, and one of the topics would have been on electric currents. You know, we're teaching the students about resistors and transistors and capacitors and all that. And one of the ways to show electric current is to have a battery, some wiring, and a globe. Is that right? And of course, the current will go around, and as it comes past the globe, it brights up, it lights up. All right. But I would say to the students, if there is a cut in the circuit, what happens? Nothing happens. And that's the same here. It's not me. What God is saying right here is that when we love one another, we complete God's love for us. Therefore, God who loves us, who gives us that love, it goes to us. We can't keep it for ourselves. Yeah, we can't be people saying, well, thank you, God. Thank you for loving me, and I'll just keep it to myself, and I'll just do my thing with you, and I'll come to church, and I'll pray to you, and I'll worship you, but I don't really care about the people around me. It's just me and you. We're pretty tight. Not like that. To complete God's love, it has to go to us, to someone else. Are you with me? And that's what we've got to do. So as we love one another, not only we display the invisible God, we also complete the love of God that starts with God, that runs through us to the other people. The circuit of God's love is completed as we love one another. And that's why it's so important that we as a church, Sun Lifers, we're to love one another. We've experienced the love of God. We know that God is love. And God initiated that love towards us. And God gives us that love. And He's displayed it on the cross. And now He demands that love. He wants us to love one another. What will break my heart as a pastor of this church, as I come to the end of my journey at Sun Life Church one day, and I look back, and we've built a ministry on people who want to come and just receive good worship, good fellowship, good morning tea, good preaching, and that's it. That will break my heart. What will bring joy to me at the end of my ministry is to look back and say, well, God, look at all these people. They're loving You and they're loving one another. They're loving their community. They're loving the lost. They're loving the poor. God, look at them. They're not here just for themselves. They're here to receive Your love, but then it doesn't stop with them. It passes on to someone else. That is why I do what I do. So my prayer for us all, Sun Life Church, for those who've experienced the love of God, and you know that God has loved you so much, keep loving one another. Because as you love one another, you display the invisible God, and you complete His love that started with you. Amen? Let me pray for you. Father God, thank You so much for Your word, always. Thank You so much that You are love. You give love. You initiate love. You've demonstrated that on the cross, and now You demand that we, as Your children, love one another. So God, I pray right now for everyone here at Sun Life Church, everyone here, that God, You'll do that miracle in our hearts, that we are loving one another, that we are really loving one another, God. And I pray that there will never be anyone in this church who are lonely, who are without friendship. I pray, God, that You would expand our capacity to love, Lord, that everyone who walks through the doors of Sun Life Church will feel so loved as we display You to one another. So God, will You do that work right now? I pray, God, that the people here would not just listen to what I preach and that's it, but rather You would challenge them. Oh Lord, if there's conviction, may that take place right now. Lord, will You really spur them on, Lord? Will You do that work in our church, Lord? Lord, we want to grow in our love for You and for one another. We want a love that is a love in action, Not just a word, not speech, not with the tongue, but with our hands, Lord. So God, would you do that work right now? Would you do that work right now? Thank you for loving us. Loving us first. Thank you so much. Sun Life Church, would you be upstanding with me as we respond, as we worship God? God has spoken to us through His Word this morning. And I pray that you're challenged to go out to love. Challenged to love people. Not just go, well, thanks for the Word, Pastor. I like it. I can see the 4 points. No. Be challenged to go out there to love people. Amen?